They are the most complete team in football by far. It's not even close.
Boom! That man got an interception. He made one little bad play, comes back and get a pick. So now you're like, yo, this dude just bounces back in a game. Yeah.
From here on out, everybody tag Jason as Jason 1% Bell.
Don't do it.
Jason the 1%. You're a 1%.
It doesn't sound good. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. OC, we had a bye week last week. Everybody's got to get right on the bye week. Review film. Figure out how to change things, fix things. I think you've been playing excellent this year.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Jay.
Just keep going. Keep coming off the edge. Stay fresh. You know what I'm saying? Just stay
agile. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I want to say thank you to our sponsor, Lazy Boy, the original recliner. And I'm telling you, if you would have saw OC rocking back and forth, you would understand real, real comfort.
Yeah.
And if you want to learn more, www.la-z-boy.co.uk.
Incredible.
That's why you need that rest. You got to have a bye week, man. People taking off all over the place, OC.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I'm saying?
It's the bye week. Doing whatever they want to do, right?
Doing whatever they want to do.
Now, we're about to get into some football, right? But
eventually,
before we get into football,
yeah,
there's something that I wanted to discuss with you.
I like this.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I say discuss with you, it's basically a theory.
Okay.
Right? And after I lay out my theory, I want you to tell me, in your estimation, and our viewers also, or our listeners,
okay,
send some, you know, tweets and let me know if...
Yeah, let OC know, because I don't even look at Twitter anymore, I'll be honest.
Yeah, let me know. I want to know if if I'm on the right path or if I'm mistaken.
Completely. I like this.
Right?
I like this.
On my feed yesterday, it was the Joe Rogan podcast came
out. Very popular.
Yeah, Joe Rogan. And he was discussing with The Rock. And The Rock was talking about his... you know, I think somebody came to him, one of the political parties, and was talking about him running for office, right?
I remember this being a rumor.
Yeah, and he confirmed it. He said they showed him the data, showed him the numbers, said that there was a possibility he could win, right? But, you know, that's neither here nor there to me. It was a discussion that they were having, right? Joe has said something about the moral dilemma that a president gets put in.
Okay.
Right? And he was talking about, for instance, maybe there's a building and there's a terrorist in this building and there's 100 innocent people. But, you know, do you drop the bomb on to kill this one terrorist, right? But you're also going to kill all these innocent people, right? And then the moral ramifications of having to deal with things like that, right? Which I can't even fathom being in that position. You know,
you see that happen in movies a lot where they put people in those kind of situations where they have to make that decision.
You know what I mean?
And you feel like, with the protagonist.
But the thing that caught my interest was something that he also said, Joe Rogan. He said, and also the moral dilemma of you sending money to help fund war.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, you know, the thing that gets him is, okay, how do they have 30, 40 billion?
So Joe Rogan asked him this.
He was talking to The Rock about this, right?
He asked him this question.
Exactly.
Directly. Okay.
And he was like, you know, how do you have 30 billion, you know, to send to Ukraine, you know, to help with their war or to send to Israel to help with what's going on? But then the people in your country are, you know, suffering, right? And there's issues in your country that, when people ask for money, you're like, no, we don't have the money for this. But miraculously, when you have the money to send there, right?
Yes, yes.
And so that was the question that was posited. And The Rock didn't really have any answer. But I started to think about this, you know, and I came up with a theory as to why I think this happens. And I want to know if this is right or if this is wrong or if maybe I'm onto something, right? So, initially, when he says something like that, my first reaction is one of confusion and anger because obviously you're like, that's true. How come there seems to always have money for for war, but you know, maybe it's the NHS or maybe the, you know, healthcare or things like that. You don't have the money for that. Like, why would that be? That doesn't make any sense.
Okay, right?
And then I was like, okay, let me think through this. And let me think about why this may actually be happening. Why do they allow all that money to go out?
Which is your point. Your point is, where are they putting the
money? Where are they putting the money?
So let's focus on that, because I'm with you.
The money goes out. Let's say it goes $30 billion to Ukraine or whatever. It goes out.
Out. Right? I like how you say that, out.
It goes
so
out.
So get people to think not where it's going, but it's going.
It's going. So it goes out, right?
Yes.
And then here's where I think is the interesting part to me.
Okay.
Is because that money is then used to buy, for the most part, like weapons.
Okay.
A lot of times, right?
Okay.
And then...
And your point it is, which is where we're talking.
Yeah. And so now it goes out to buy weaponry, but then it comes back in to, you know, the defense contractors, and it comes back in, but that money is not going into the hands of the many. It's going into the hands of the few. So it's still not into the system. And the rich continue to get richer and nothing changes.
War is a business.
Yes.
It always has been in every nation. So, to your point, I'm not even having an opinion. I'm just saying throughout history, when money moves out like that and it goes to these places, what does it do? What does it promote? There is a lot of weapons being buy and sold. We make a lot of weapons in America. So somebody's always making money.
Yeah.
Remember you said this one time, you walked in here and you said, I'm done, J-Bell. I got to stop caring.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course.
You were exhausted.
Exhausted.
Why do we meditate? Why do we try to take ourselves out of this? As players, block the noise. We can't go out on the field and you carrying all this weight. We talk about going to practice, playing in the game, blocking out the noise, whatever else is happening. You got to let that go because you can't be present in where you got to be. You can't be a present, a partner, a father, a mother, anything.
Yeah.
What do people say about life? Man, live it. It's unique. It's special. It's short. Man, all these things we're talking about is what makes it that. It's like trying to figure this out on the fly, and you never do.
Yep. Never.
You never do.
It's crazy.
That's why we love the game we play. The NFL, we talk about things in life and we always bring it back to football because that year is like 10 in life, right? It is, man. The things you deal with, the things you have to handle, the ups and downs from when you look at a team, right? That's like your nation or something, right? You know, but you look at the league, that's like the world, you know? It's And then you look at the individuals, the players, the groups, the coaches. Like, it all kind of lives in its own.
The game of football to me, the game. I'm talking about, like, the way the NFL has created it is pure.
Okay. Is it because there's a... Okay, twofold. Is it because there's a winner and a loser? And there's a lot of transparency.
There's so much transparency, number one. There's a winner and a loser, number two. And everybody, every last team has a legitimate chance. Like
pretty much
of them.
Pretty much.
Right?
Yeah.
The rules are the same for everybody.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Everybody's playing by the same. Like, to me, it is literally, if you could create a world, right, I would create it in that image.
A socialistic utopia.
Period.
Yeah, because no team is going bankrupt and failing.
Never.
And if they did, trust me, there's something out there to help them up.
There you go.
There has to be.
Here you go. You know? Oh, this team is losing, so guess what? Next year, they get the best players.
Yeah. Fair.
You get the best players, right?
You've always said this.
Here's the salary cap. everybody has the same amount of money.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
There's no, they have created literally the perfect
fairness.
Fairness all across.
The only thing that makes it unique and makes you a championship team, a championship player, all that, is the intangibles of the work you put in, maybe the talent you have. You know, we always say talent isn't the same as far as how you handle the talent.
Yep.
And coaching is not the same.
Yeah. But nobody has access to talent that other people, you know, like right. here.
It's how you evaluate it could be different,
yeah.
but you all have access to it. There is no insider info, really.
Everybody has access to the same.
Yeah, they do.
You know,
they do.
It's really it's
every
really
stone is unturned.
It's really interesting.
It is. It's fat. This I mean, and that's why people lock in every year.
Mm-hmm.
That's why as soon as this season's over, no, sorry, teams that aren't playing well right now, OC, they're literally starting to think about they're tying into the draft,
yep.
who they can get, who can change their future. Like the hope exists.
Yes, just like this.
It's like we're not playing well, but you know what? We might get this guy.
This guy.
We might get that guy. All that might happen.
And that's going. This guy's going to carry us for the next 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. Hope. It's so true. I do want to talk about a game that I hope would be great.
Okay.
And tell us a lot. And I think it has its story to me.
Okay.
Obviously, Super Bowl rematch.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City Chiefs. Against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yep.
The Kelce Bowl.
Yes.
Moms is in the stands. Shout out to their moms. Man, you know, you think about it, man. She's had a major year. Like, just, you know.
There's a lot going on.
A lot going
on. A lot going on.
But she's really cool about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm.
And you don't.
Where's the dad? Just.
He just chills. He's
just
smart.
He's chilling, yeah.
He's pulling an OC.
yeah,
he's doing
just in the background,
it. He's
just,
like, you got this.
Yeah.
You know? But it's great that the ambassador she is as far as an NFL mother. Shout out to her. That can't be easy. This game told me a lot.
Yep.
Eagles win 21-17. The Chiefs were at home.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how you think somebody's going to change?
Yep.
You're like, when they just, you know, and when they become. And it's, and you're like, we evolve, we change, we get different. This is who you are. And when I look at the Chiefs, I still got hope for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're a team that can no longer make mistakes, and they got to learn this.
Mm-hmm.
They used to be so explosive on offense that they would do stuff and then score in bunches. Bro, they don't score? They don't score in the second half?
Mm-hmm. Shut up, I feel in the second half.
They don't. What? You can't win a Super Bowl like that.
Mm.
It's impossible. Travis Kelce fumbles.
Mm-hmm.
And then, who missed the big throw?
Valdes-Scantling dropped the ball.
Yeah, he dropped the ball. Mm-hmm. Valdes-Scantling. You're no longer the team that can overcome that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Now, okay, for me, I didn't really learn anything about Kansas City, right?
Okay.
Like, to me, this is the way they've kind of been playing this
good
whole
point.
Year. Right?
Solid point. Solid, right? Yes, good
so
point.
It's like their receivers, they don't have any receivers. They're overly relying on their defense and Patrick Mahomes, outside of maybe Kelce, right? And if Kelce doesn't have a big day, forget it. They're a shell of themselves offensively, right?
Yes.
So there's that. Their defense has been dominant.
My gosh. You know that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, playing good ball, right?
Balling.
What I learned most from this game really was Philadelphia.
Okay.
Philadelphia has proven over the course of this season, right,
mm-hmm.
that whichever way you want them to win.
Ooh, good point.
Anyway you want them to win, they are going to find ways to win the game. Shootouts, they'll take it there, right?
Good point.
You want to win ugly, they'll take it there. You want to run the ball, they'll take it there. You want to win defensively, they'll take it. Overall, as a football team, the Philadelphia Eagles are by far the only team that I can say can win in whichever fashion you need them to win. If they need to score 50 points, they can do that. Yeah. If they need to shut you out, they can do that. They need to run the ball, they can do that. If they need their defense to win the game, they can do that. They are the most complete team in football by far. It's not even close.
You know, when you made this point, I realized And I think it's back on our other conversation into this and how we view the world. This was my biases. I'm so locked into Kansas City.
Yeah.
I'm so locked in because of what I thought in the beginning of the year and my love for this defense and just I like the Chiefs that I couldn't take that veil and remove it. Because you're right. You're absolutely right. It's all about how you can play and how you can change based on the game you're in.
Yep.
How do you have that instinct, which you've had it before. I don't even want to say instinct. Could be instinct. The ability to know and the experience to say, ooh, this is, okay, this is how we've been here before, or this is what we got to do, or this is how we got to handle this. Don't panic. Let's play like this. Let's adjust like this on the fly. It feels like that. That's who they are.
Yeah.
And it's the players, bro. There's something about the spine, right? That it's so important, right? It holds you together, the spine. And when you look at that offense, now that you're convincing me, you've made a very good point. We talked about Kelce. And Jason Kelce, the center. And you think about Jalen Hurts, the spine, right? Just the center, the quarterback. Everything is operating from that. Do they just seem like guys that can handle anything emotionally to you?
Yes. Anything.
They do. Like Jalen Hurts is cooler and calmer than everybody.
Yep.
Almost to like, bro,
are you okay?
Are you here?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, it's all business.
Locked in.
Briefcase they say he comes in with.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of see that to your point.
You know what you just unlocked in me? It was something that I thought about, right? The best teams, right? Usually on a football team. Think about this. The leadership, right?
Yeah.
On your football team.
Yes.
Runs right down the middle.
It has to.
Think about it. It's the quarterback, the center, your leaders, the quarterback, the center, usually somewhere in the line.
Yep.
Your linebacker, your safety.
Yes.
Those are the leaders on your football team. Why is that?
Because
it's usually not the corners.
Yep.
Not the ends. Nope. Not the receivers.
No.
It's usually right down the middle of your football team.
Always.
That's where the leaders are.
And if you're not tough there, you can't win championships.
Yeah.
You'll get exposed. Two reasons. And even if you have a back in the day, and even on some teams, it's the running back. Not on every. It's the spine to your
right
point,
there.
Right down the middle. First thing is communication. When you're in those positions, you're talking to everybody. During the game, when it's active. And you have to see everything. When I moved, I had the luxury of this happening. I was on the corner like you were, right? You're on the edge. I'm at corner, and I moved to safety. And the first thing, shout out to Dave Merritt, my DB coach, still winning championships. he's with the Chiefs now. He taught me you have to open up your, you have to see the game differently. You're used to seeing it in this from this corner. You're used to being on that island. But when you're in there, you have to see it differently and you have to talk to people differently because the chain of communication, the line comes through you. Now, I was lucky enough. This is why I have so much respect for Antonio. Not only Antonio Pierce, who's the coach for the Raiders, not only is he our friend and not my childhood friend, but watching him on the field communicate. The things he used to have to deal with in the game. I'm asking him stuff. You're asking him stuff. The coach is talking to him. He's managing everything because that's what the position requires. And if you don't have players that have experience, have intestinal fortitude, have the ability to communicate with others, it's something's going to happen. We see it all the time. When you watch a game on defense and there's too much pointing, there's too much like – it just seems flustered. You're like, oh, they don't know what they're doing. It's those guys. How are they directing traffic? And if you don't have that on the offensive line, your center, who's pointing out protection, calling out protection, who are we blocking? How does it feel? Because it all starts from him. You know what I'm saying? How do we do this? How do we, you know, they say an offensive line is like a good band. They got to play together because it's all about feel out there. Boom, it's got to be in the spine. And to your point, when you look at this team, man, that's what they got. They were weak at safety, right? Because of all, but what did they do?
Byard.
Boom! That man got an interception. He made one little bad play, comes back and get a pick. So now you're like, yo, this dude just bounces back in a game. Yeah. The spine.
Yep. Man, that's cool. That's interesting.
It is, right? When you look at the teams now, when you look at how they're built, we're talking about playoff football now. We're talking about the final five teams in each conference. You know,
how's your spine?
How's your spine? Can I ask you who are your top teams in the before we get off, just in case you've changed?
Yeah.
Who are your top teams in the NFC, and then we'll switch to the AFC. You can give me as many as you
top
want.
Top teams in the NFC. Philadelphia, number one.
They're number one. Okay.
I think I like the way Dallas is playing.
Okay.
I think Dallas is a good football team. And then San Francisco, obviously.
Yeah.
Those three, for sure. And it seems like it's been those three, really, for the entire year in some variation, right?
So, your Eagles first and your who second?
I still go San Fran second.
Okay.
Dallas third.
Do you take the Lions fourth?
Yeah. Lions are, to me, even though they're winning, like, they should have lost. They should have lost to Chicago.
But they didn't do what we're talking about with Philly.
Yeah,
we can't. We gotta.
But no.
Oh, see, you gotta learn. You gotta. You have to learn.
That's different.
You gotta learn.
Yeah.
How to overcome a bad start. Like when you're just like, because you could take it in the tank. You could say this isn't our day, or you can say, "Hey, man, let's get it together." And that's what they did to me. They showed me that was a win. I think that now elevates you from a team that's trying to make an identity, which we see their identity, to somebody you have to deal with every year. That game showed me. I know the opponent was the opponent. Mm. It showed me they can overcome adversity when the heat is on.
That's a fact. That's you
maybe
can't
I'm
even
trying
argue.
To talk myself into
No,
that.
You can't argue with that particular fact. I think conversely, I think you can't be in a situation like that. Against the Chicago Bears. That is a...
Have you been in games like that where you just had to bounce back?
Not against a terrible team. Okay. We've gotten hammered before, but usually the team we're getting hammered by wasn't a terrible football team.
It was legit.
Yeah, they were. Even if they weren't legit, they were still, you know, maybe they were, you know, 6-3, 6-4. They weren't like 2-8. Like, come on,
the
man.
The lack of respect for the Bears. OC.
Yeah, they're bad.
Justin Fields is playing for his future right now. So he's coming out.
Well.
Yeah, he's playing. It's going to be interesting. All you Bears fans, right now, before you give up on him, make sure, let's see who he plays against and how he performs against good teams, and then evaluate who's coming in the draft and say, at this point today, is he better or is he not? Not this person can be better.
Great
is
point.
He better or is he not? All right, I agree with your whole list. I'm with you on that. I'm going Eagles, 49ers. I'm going the Cowboys. And then
I'm going
the Lions. Yes.
Okay, so if we go over to the AFC.
Let's go to AFC now.
Still.
Okay.
It would be Kansas City.
Really? You are a very good. You make me feel better. Okay.
It would still be Kansas City, I believe, in the AFC.
Okay.
You got to throw Miami in there.
Oh, you like them that high?
Yeah, Miami is a good
over the Ravens.
You the like Ravens? The Ravens and their fourth quarter collapses are concerning.
Okay, good point.
They're concerning, and this addition of Jalen Ramsey,
your strongest take right now of this section.
Yeah, this. Miami's, they're going to be a lot to deal with, bro.
Their defense has gotten better.
They're going to be a lot to deal with.
They've gotten better.
Yeah.
They're getting turnovers. They're understanding. They got Fangio. It takes a while, right?
Yeah.
You've been in this.
Yeah.
New coordinator?
Yeah. So, I think I'm not 1,000% sure that Baltimore is a better team than Miami with Jalen Ramsey in there defensively. I'm just not sure.
Okay.
So I would go KC, 2A, 2B, Miami, Baltimore,
uh-huh.
And then who else we got in the
AFC? You got Jacksonville. They're top of their division. And then you have the Texans coming in strong.
Yeah.
You got the Browns that are in the wild card. You got the Steelers.
Yeah. You see, I'm just going to go three there. I can't.
Okay.
The rest of those teams to me are.
Well, what about, okay, just give me the AFC South then. Who do you think will be the final in with Jacksonville and the Texans?
Jacksonville.
You think Jacksonville?
Yeah, Jacksonville.
Because that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Trevor thought this was his division. You know what I'm saying?
Like, man, not so fast.
Boom.
Struggled last week, but.
Yeah. But yeah. That's going to be great. So, okay, I will go Kansas City because I'm just going to stick with my bias.
Yeah.
But you make a good point. I'm going to go Ravens, then I'm going to go the Dolphins. But what this defense is doing in Miami is scary.
Yeah. You need to be concerned about that.
You
defense.
Need to be
because offensively that they can explode at any point in time, right?
Yeah.
Now if you have the defense that's because usually a team that's explosive offensively,
yes,
defensively they don't usually play like that, right?
Yeah,
Yeah, with this team coming together defensively and Jalen is a dog, bro.
All they needed, when you get somebody like that, it changes the dynamic of whatever side of the ball you're on.
Yeah.
It just
you
does.
Got a good corner on the other side. Very good corner.
And he's going to – Xavier Howard can play, but it's going to – he's used to being that dude, right? And if you're that dude, you're that dude. But when you got a bunch of dudes, then it all changes.
Better.
You're right. So very interesting. I like that you've made me think about a lot of stuff, which is why we do this podcast. I appreciate it, OC. You came in off the bye week ready.
Hot.
And I appreciate that. What are you doing later on today? Tell the people.
Playing some soccer. That's why, from here on out on Tuesdays, because there's a 1 o'clock game on Tuesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to come in dressed like this.
Mm-hmm.
I have my, you see my bag that I brought? You see this? This is a gym bag.
That's official.
So inside, boom. What do we have in here? We got the boots.
Oh, you got your football.
Yeah, and I have like a, some shorts.
Okay.
So all I have to do is take these off, put these on, put my shoes on. I'm ready to go.
This is what it's all about for you.
So I'm going to be dressed like this from here on out every time I come in on Tuesday.
I mean, you might change your mind. Easy. It's getting cold, but
I just have a coat, a big coat on top.
No,
of this.
But I mean, it's getting cold out there to be playing. So no, it doesn't matter.
Don't you know that's when you're supposed to be?
Because you lose so much weight?
Yeah,
sweat.
Yeah, you burn a lot more calories in the cold than in the heat.
You got your rich man ankles out.
Boom.
That's when you know you got bread.
Boom.
When you got bread, your ankles are out and it's cold.
Bread.
Yeah, because you're not, you know why?
Yeah.
Because you're not in the cold.
Yeah, but you're in the 1%, J-Bell. Did you know that?
I do.
Yeah. So a lot of times you throw stuff my way. But realistically, you're in the 1%.
But the 1%
has many
brackets.
No,
yes, it does.
No.
Because the 1% is broken up in so many brackets, and it all depends on how you view the 1%.
Jason
if you're
Bell.
Viewing it on our tax brackets in America.
Jason 1% Bell.
This has been the Jason and OC podcast brought to you by the NFL UK. Shout out to them for allowing us to have this platform. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Till next time, OC, 2-time Super Bowl champion, and my friend, holla at you next time.
Don't let Jason, from here on out, everybody tag Jason as Jason 1% Bell.
Don't do it.
Jason, the 1%. You're a 1%.
No.
It doesn't sound good. He doesn't like it.
It doesn't fit my narrative.